Today I would like to focus actually on our second reading from Ephesians, because the full miracle of what Jesus does for us is not only that we can see, but that indeed we actually become light. And I think that's so important for us to understand, to accept, and to live. And we become light not simply for ourselves, but for all those the Lord desires to save. When I think about kind of becoming light and being light in the Lord, as it says, I think back to one of my Bolivia experiences, that the bus crash that I've mentioned in the past, where the driver had fallen asleep up in the mountains in the middle of the night. The bus crashed off the road, tumbled down into a ravine. I was one of four people that could actually even walk after the bus accident. And thankfully, given that strength, part of what I did, among many other things, was to be able to climb back up the ravine to get back to the road, to be able to flag down help. This had happened at 2 in the morning, so it was a bit of a wait up there, and it was a wait in the cold of the darkness of the Andes Mountains. But then as dawn came, a very beautiful thing happened in the midst of a very ugly tragedy. The sun started to rise, and as it did, you could start to see the light at the very tips of the mountains as the sun was coming up. And as the sun came up, the light started to descend down the mountain tips all around us. And there I was up on this gravel road, kind of overlooking the destruction below. And the light was coming closer and closer until finally I could start to receive the light myself, that beautiful morning sunlight, the warmth of it, the brilliance of it, the golden glory of it as it came upon me. I remember so clearly just kind of standing on the road and just kind of receiving this light. But it wasn't just there for me. And so when I was up on the road, I would call down to the people who had been in the wreck, my fellow volunteers, and telling them, the sun is rising, the sun is rising, light is coming, light is coming, warmth is coming, rescue is coming. And they could look up and see me from kind of still in the dark in the shadows, this one who was light, you know, covered in the sunlight and calling out to them that light is coming for you. Years later, when I was on a retreat with Father Dan Barron, who the seminarians know well, a great priest who serves in the archdiocese, I kind of prayed into the experience and just really kind of felt from the Lord like this is an image of your vocation, you know, to call to people who are in the crash, in the wreck of life, you yourself having been in that crash as well, you know, preserved by me and helped by me to get up to the road. Now you are to call to the people in darkness that light is coming. Light is on its way. Salvation is on its way. And that's really something that we are all called to in each of our Christian vocations, to be light and to announce it to the world. In our second reading, St. Paul, to the Ephesians, he speaks about, it's interesting, he says, you were once darkness. Not just simply in darkness, not that you're in light. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Not in darkness, not in light, but you were darkness and have become light. The stakes of following Christ and what he wants to do for us are so much greater. You know, there's this transformation that Jesus wants to accomplish within us. You know, so that we are not darkness, but we are light. You know, in darkness, it's a lack of light. It cannot exist in light, but must stay out of light. And so being light means there's this total transformation that God wants to do for us. You know, this salvation that Jesus works is this turning us fully into light and fully in light in the end. And so St. Paul describes us as children of the light. We come from that light. And yet, just like all children, we must grow in that. We must mature in that. And so he tells us to live as children of light. But that word he uses, peripateo, isn't just kind of a static thing like a mushroom on a hill. It means walk, to walk as children of light. It's a dynamic light living that we are called to. And we do this with our body, with our words, with our actions. All of our life, the totality of it, is meant to be light, rather than, as he describes it, the fruitless works of darkness. And so what kind of things is that in walking as children of the light? Well, he says, light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. We shine as the light we are meant to be by producing every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. That goodness he speaks of, you know, it means this generous goodness, this overflowing goodness, this radiant goodness, maybe you could put it that way, that reaches out and illuminates and warms. And that word righteousness that he uses, dikaiosune, that means being in right relationship, being in right relationship, you know, in this covenant relationship with God, being in a right relationship with him, and then through that, being then in right relationship with neighbor. So being light in the Lord means that, well, the Lord is the light, and then in him, we become light as well. You know, Jesus says, you know, I am the light of the world. But he also does say in the Gospels, you are the light of the world. But we do that and can only do that by being in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And then also the children of the light, they produce truth. And that word, aletheia, means the revelation of reality, of what is truly real. You know, beyond ideologies, beyond commercials and advertisements, beyond my wishful thinking, beyond my fears, to live in that truth, in that most fundamental truth of Jesus Christ, given to us as light for the world. That's what the blind man starts to do, you know, against the scoffing Pharisees and his fearful parents and skeptical neighbors. He consistently proclaims what is true, and he becomes a light, a chance to reveal Jesus Christ. In receiving light, he then becomes light. That's what we're called to. Therefore, he says, St. Paul, that we should try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, but really, that try to learn, it's attached to those things of goodness and righteousness and truth. And the word he uses is like a trying to learn, like you test metal to find out what's it composed of. There's a discernment that we should understand that we want to do what is pleasing to the Lord by how we are light of goodness and righteousness and truth. And therefore, I think a key question for us always is simply, how am I meant to be light in the Lord, pleasing to God in whatever the situation is before me? I think so often we instead try to escape our situation, escape our circumstances. Maybe we try to seek relief or distraction from them, squirming around, when instead we should be light in those situations. How am I meant to be light in this situation? And ask that of the Lord as I'm deeply connected with him. Sometimes in confession, when I have kind of younger people, maybe, you know, they're not just little kids, they're starting to grow up. And one thing I encourage them is that as they're moving into maturity, they need to change their whole mindset. You know, as little babies, as kids, it's a me, me, me world, you know, and what do I get now? What's going to make me happy now? Oh, I don't have that. I want that now. You know, and so there's just a lot of this self-focus. And to really encourage these children to start to see yourself as, how can I be a force of good instead for others? How can I bring goodness to my family, to my classmates, to whomever I'm around? Instead of this kind of absorbing reality, be this radiant reality. How can I be a force for good in any situation? And that's a maturation that we all need to grow in as children of the light. Not simply what I need, what I prefer, what I insist on, what would be better according to my judgments, but instead, how can I be light? Light in the Lord and light for others. And we can do that because we have been illuminated. We've been illuminated in that great gift, that sacrament of baptism. And that's this final quote from St. Paul at the end of our passage, where he says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." He's actually quoting what they believe was a very early baptismal hymn, something sung for people as they receive baptism. Probably one of the first kind of baptismal hymns of the church ever. "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." It's based on Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. But now it takes on a new light in Christ, just as all things do. And baptism was known from the beginning. It was described as an illumination. And that's still part of the rite of baptism today, the giving of the baptismal candle to the baptized. I had a baptism last night, a little girl, maybe like around 5, you know, and it was so cool because often it's infants and you don't hand them a candle, you know, the godfather hangs on to, but it's so cool that this little 5-year-old with her candle, you know, just beaming, you know, spiritually and literally and figuratively, I guess, all kinds of ways of beaming happening. It was a beautiful light moment with that candle. And so that's what we are called to. And that reality of light and baptism is something for us to always keep connected. You know, we have the beautiful candlelight mass that we do twice a month. And I think that highlights how light is this important Christian image. And it's so beautiful, both in that candlelight as well as the music and the chant. And I do encourage you to come to that the first and third Tuesday of the month. We even switch it to 7 p.m. so it's easier for people to get to. But most of all, when I hear these final words of St. Paul, his words about baptismal illumination, of course it makes me think about that beautiful Easter vigil we celebrate every year, you know, which is coming up at the end of this month. And Easter vigil, it begins in darkness. And it's meant that like the rules of the church is like you can't start the Easter vigil until it's dark out. And so the office from the Archdiocese sends out a letter to all parishes like, this year, you know, depending on where it lands, like, don't you dare begin before 8 p.m., you know? And so it starts in darkness, and it starts with a blazing fire is lit, and it's blessed. And then from that blessed fire, the big Paschal candle, the big Easter candle is lit. And then as that Easter candle processes forward, from that light, all the people have candles that are lit from that light. It's such a perfect kind of reenactment of how we are light in the Lord, how we have become light. And then we have the scriptures, first of all, from the Old Testament read, but now they take on a new light because of their fulfillment in Christ. And so there's this illumination of the mind that happens. And then when we get to the New Testament reading, first we have the Gloria, and at that point the lights come up in the church and the kind of symbolizing this light of Christ who has come. Light is a very powerful part of the Easter Vigil, and we rejoice that those who are illumined at it and receiving baptism. And so I close by just encouraging you to come to the Easter Vigil. It's something that, it's such a beautiful liturgy, and yet the attendance can be a little thin, which is always just such a pathetic countersign to the importance of what that night is. And if you've never been to the Easter Vigil, why don't you come, first of all, as light to support those who are being baptized, those who are being received into the church. Why don't you come out of love for Jesus who has given you light? And why don't you come for your own good of just something so beautiful? It's the most important liturgy, the most important mass of the year. So my brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Shine, shine with every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Let that baptismal light you have received really overtake your life, that you can be the radiance of Christ in any situation, and that others around you can awake from their sleep, arise from the dead, and receive their light from Christ.